Now, last week we started talking about an overview of the feast. And why did we do that? Because the feasts are coming up, these fall feasts. Now, there are spring feasts and there are fall feasts. And these are all in the Bible for us in Leviticus 23. God lays them all out. And he said, these are my feasts. These are my times of celebration. Now, you know how in countries around the world, in our country here, we all have our own feasts. We have, in the United States, we have Thanksgiving. And we have 4th of July. And we have other holidays where we take off. Now, you realize holidays just comes from the word holy days. It's the same English connotation. It comes from a day that is set aside as something separate. That's what to make something holy is. You're setting it aside as something distinct, something separate. We have holidays in this country. What's cool about God's feast days and His holy days are they're His. And as we saw last week, in God's kingdom, He's going to have these feasts being celebrated. He said, hey, if you don't come to celebrate with me my feasts, I'm not going to give you any rain. I'm not going to let you rejoice with me. But He does it because He wants us there. All of this, my friends, all of what we're doing here is to bring us into fellowship and relationship with God so that we know God, that we have a relationship with Him. He wants us to come sit at His table. He wants us to come rejoice and feast with Him. He wants to celebrate the great things that He is doing through Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to begin today by focusing on the next feast that are coming up, and that is the Feast of Trumpets. So turn with me to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Now, while God gave instructions in Israel for the keeping of feasts in the letter, we, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, see these feasts through the veil that is Jesus Christ. It is through the veil, as we turn to Christ, the veil is lifted, and we get to see what God is doing. So all these feasts in Leviticus 23, so I have reading assignments for those who have never read about these feasts before. The first one is, read Leviticus 23. Okay, so if you're a note taker, you're taking notes, Leviticus 23. It's a good time to read Leviticus 23, just to get a sense of these feasts. But notice what it says here in verse 24. The Lord speaking to Moses. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Okay. So, not a lot of instruction. But it's a day of a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Now, realize in society at that time when God's speaking, trumpets were used for different things. They were used to call people together. Like when you wanted to have a meeting or assembly, you'd blow a trumpet. If you were moving camp, time to go, blow the trumpet. Hey, somebody's coming to attack us. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, let people know there's trouble. And then, of course, going out to war, you blow the trumpet to signal what to do for the people to go forward and march. Now, these are the kind of things that trumpets were used for in that time. And I want you to think about that in context of God saying, this is a day of a memorial of trumpets. When we look at what God is doing through Jesus Christ, when we see the things that He has ordained, this day is a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Now, as you look in the Scripture, God opens our eyes to see that He has a time of blowing of trumpets. He has a time of great shoutings, of great noises. He has a time that is coming that signifies something radical that is going to happen on this earth. Now, as much as the spring feasts of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost talk a lot about the first coming of Jesus Christ, when we come to these fall feasts, they are going to focus us on His second coming, when Jesus Christ returns. So what is this all about, this Feast of Trumpets, this memorial of blowing of trumpets? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation Revelation chapter 8 and in verse 1, it says this. Revelation 8 and verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who were standing before God, and to them who were, were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Okay, so here we are having a view of the future through the revelation of Jesus Christ that was delivered to John. And he's saying, there's this time of these seven trumpets that have to be blown. There's a memorial, something distinct, something special. Now, I'm going to give you your second reading assignment. I want you to read the rest of this chapter and chapter 9 through verse 21 on your own time. Revelation 8, verse 1 through 9, chapter 9, verse 21, later. This is in preparation for celebrating. You want to know about what happens? I want you to read it. We're going to do the quick overview right now, but I really want you to read it because I don't want you to take my word for things. I want you to believe what is written in the Scripture and have a relationship with God that I don't need to be involved in. I'm just here to help you. I'm just here to show you things in the Scripture and to help you on your own search with God to understand these things. And notice the first trumpet. God says that a third of all the earth's vegetation is struck. Now the trumpets happen after God has already opened seals that only Jesus Christ could open. Only the Lamb who was slain could open the seals, says earlier in Revelation. You can read chapters 5 through 7 for more information on that. But here we see a third of all the earth's vegetation is struck in the first trumpet. So we have a major thing going on. Can you imagine? Just open your mind now. Start envisioning what God is talking about here. A third of all the earth's vegetation is struck. Second trumpet. A third of all the sea creatures and ships are destroyed. Can you imagine? We talk about a crisis of oil and animals being hurt in a part of the earth. How about a third of sea creatures being destroyed? We're talking major destruction. Third trumpet, a third of fresh water becomes poisonous, killing people. How devastating. You know, think of the news. Think of the images that would be coming out as God starts to pour out these trumpets, and His wrath is coming upon the earth. The fourth trumpet. A third of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened. No light on a third of the day. Now, those of you who are gardeners and grow things, you know how important sunlight is. You know, we get about just a little more than half the sunlight in the winter as opposed to the summer. But farmers who grow tomatoes will tell you they actually, with that extra sunlight they get in the summertime, their crop is about double in the summer as opposed to the winter because the plants need sunlight. The photosynthesis process, the energizing effect of the sun brings those plants to life. It gives greater crops. Things need sunlight for there to be life and growth. So all of a sudden you have major things happening with all the supplies of the earth. Not just because they've been destroyed already, because a third are destroyed, but now you have sunlight, and of course, just darkness, more darkness on the earth. The fifth trumpet, the first woe, mankind tormented for 5 months, and those who seek death can't find it. It says that mankind will be tortured, tormented for 5 months. So we have some major things happening. Again, read these chapters yourself. The sixth trumpet, one third of all mankind is killed. That would be about 2 billion people. Now you think the United States is what, somewhere around 300 million? So it's everybody in the United States more than six times over. Okay, that's a lot of people, right? I mean, it's hard to think about a third of everybody. But when you look at the numbers of what's going on, you realize there are a lot of things that are coming. And then the seventh trumpet blows. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. And then the bowls of wrath and the battle at Armageddon follow as part of the the seventh trumpet blowing, there are now seven bowls of wrath. Now, the first bowl of wrath, severe sores upon all who have the mark of the beast and worship his image. And we'll talk about that at some other time. The second bowl, sea becomes blood and every sea creature dies. It's a lot of stuff going on, isn't it? And God's prophesying something devastating for the whole earth. Third bowl of wrath. All the rivers and streams of fresh water become blood. What are you going to drink? There's no fresh water left. The fourth bowl of wrath. Men are scorched by the sun and by its great heat. So obviously something's happened. And the heavenly signs, the sun, is scorching people. Fifth bowl of wrath. Darkness falls on the kingdom of the beast. It is dark. As if the sun burns out. Sixth bowl of wrath. The Euphrates is dried up so that God can gather together for that final battle. And then it is done. The noises, the thunderings, the lightnings, the greatest earthquake in the history of mankind. Islands flee, mountains are not found, and great hail falls. And then what follows is this great battle of Armageddon that you might have heard about, when he gathers them together and basically Christ returns to the earth to battle, to destroy all who would stand against him. Now, we have Jesus here returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you have to ask the question, why celebrate this? Why memorialize these trumpets? Why have a feast day that would have such horrible things associated with it? Well, as much as it is a distraction and a time of destruction for those of the world, it is actually a time of great jubilation for those who accept Jesus Christ. When we go through this and understand the events of this world, why does God pour out such wrath? Why does God have these trumpets? Is it because God is being mean? Is it because God is being vicious? Ultimately, the wrath and judgment of God come because a world that has rejected God is reaping a consequence, and God is making a quick work of it at the end. He's bringing about a judgment on this earth that will change the look and environment of the earth forever. But every time, and if you will take the time to read through when God is pouring out the trumpets and when God is pouring out these bowls of wrath, what you will find is he's calling out and he says, but still they won't repent. And every judgment that God has in your life today or in the future is always, always, always about getting you, me, and everybody to repent. This is what God will do. He'll destroy everything he made to try to get you to repent. Every tribulation, every trial you face in your life is a microcosm of this. How much pressure does God continue to have to put on you over and over and over? How far till you hit your bottom? Isn't that what they usually say about somebody who's addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol? It's not until they hit the bottom, when they realize that's it, that they'll often change. So God will take away food. He'll take away the fresh water. He'll take away all the things he provides. Just like a parent, when your child is acting rebellious toward you and they're not doing what's right and honorable, you take things, you limit, right, the privileges. You're hoping to put something on them of consequence and pain, not because you're being mean. You're trying to change the behavior. You're trying to wake them up to say, hey, what are you doing? You're living in this world of pride and selfishness apart from God. And God's saying, hey, what do I have to do? I'll do everything it takes to get you to come back to me. That's why he does it. He wants you and me and everybody. Peter writes, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's going to pour out tremendous wrath. All the evil of this world culminating in what it really is. Because you realize, as much as you have been called to be a new creation, to take this body of earth and to be glorified in God's presence, when you go apart from God and you sin, you're taking this body of earth that God makes and destroying it. When the seventh trumpet sounds, it's declared that Jesus will return to reward His saints and the prophets, but He will destroy those who destroy the earth. He destroys those who don't want to be His children, who want to resist, who are bent on evil. And as this war takes place with Jesus returning as kings, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He will bind Satan for 1,000 years. He will bind or destroy every enemy that is against Him. Because He knows that sometimes there's only peace on the other side of wrath. You know, it's an interesting thing that happens. When a person is involved in sin, and they try to cope with life without addressing the sin, their life is miserable and muddied. They have issues that they know aren't right before God, but rather than just getting down and dirty with it, rather than just really looking at how sick it is, rather than going to the heart of it, we try to mask it. We're like Adam and Eve. We put on these veils and these coverings and we don't want to see the truth of sin. But you know what happens? It's always there. I have a friend who has a daughter now who's grown up. But I'll tell you something about that girl. She has such a wonderful, beautiful conscience. Still to this day, she is a beautiful woman. She's married. She has kids. Just love this woman. She just has such a beautiful conscience before God. She wants to do what's right and honorable. She's very gentle and serving. But you know, when she did something wrong, even as just a little girl, she would continue to do bad stuff till she finally had her coming through with her parents. And they would almost know that she must have done something wrong, because every time she does something she shouldn't, she'll do lots of other bad things. She'll get crabby and grouchy and disobedient. And she gets worse and worse and worse till we finally put the hammer down and address what's going on. And then when she's getting her discipline, she'll confess it all. But it wasn't till she got to a certain point. She tries to live with the sin. She tried to move on with the sin. She tried to act like it didn't, to cover it up, to not think about it, to just have life without addressing the sin. But you know what? Until she had the wrath, so to speak, of her parents, she wasn't able to simply come clean and accept the consequence and seek the forgiveness and restoration. Now, they could see it in a little girl. You sometimes can see it in others. The question is, do you see it in yourself? When you sin, when you fall short, do you just try to go on as if, oh well? Or do you take it to the place to deal with it? You see, whether you've committed the sin or whether the sin has been committed against you, what it plants in you is something that isn't right, that doesn't lend to peace, that doesn't lend to rest, to wholeness in life. We sang a song about the lies. I'm tired of all these lies that never satisfy. The world gives you lie after lie after lie to distract you and keep you from coming naked before your God to say, I'm naked, clothe me. I'm blind, heal me. I'm poor, enrich me. And God is begging out to a world, and He's begging out to you and me to say, come make it plain. Be plain before me. When we celebrate this Feast of Trumpets, it's God crying out to say, come and be honest before me. Because sin always brings wrath. It brings pain. It brings oppression. It brings death. It brings misery. And I want you to know that all of this wrath is just simply a culmination of what is. It's the world's sins finally meeting the end that his Father says no for all of it. This world tries to make sin cute. Tries to make it funny. Whether it's sexual immorality or lying or cheating or stealing or being fraudulent. The wrath of God says otherwise. It's not cute. It's not funny. You're not getting ahead. Mankind wants to manipulate. Mankind wants to control. And God says no to all of it. God made man in his own image that man would be free. That man could have life. That man could know liberty and the law of liberty that produces life. And every time the law of liberty is broken, you realize somebody is oppressed. Somebody becomes imprisoned. Somebody becomes a slave. Trumpets is about Christ breaking down the slavery to redeem. Trumpets is about Christ coming to say enough is enough to the ways of this world and all of its war and fighting and bickering. It's a time of something new happening that is ushered in by the return of Christ. In Jesus' first coming, he came as a lamb to yield his life, to give his life as a sacrifice for many. He willingly laid it down. Though having a power to call legions of angels if he wanted to, he didn't. He laid it down of his own self. But when he returns again, he comes not as the lamb willing to lay down his life, but he comes with the authority of his Father to put an end to everything that stands against the will and way of God on this earth. When we celebrate trumpets, we're celebrating Jesus coming back. We're celebrating that there will be trumpets blown that will finally bring an end to all those nations and all the people that would stand against the way of God, against the way of love, to say enough. Because until those who stand against the way of love are put down, there will always be injustice. The ways of justice are found in giving our lives humbly to God, not in the pride of this world. Now notice this. As much as this is a time of wrath and destruction for those of the world, if you love Jesus at His coming, if you are looking for His coming, it is a time of great jubilation for you when these trumpets sound. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 29. Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 29. Now the time of the trumpets, again, as I said, it's after the seals have been released. It's after the tribulation that comes on this earth, that the wrath of God is being poured out. And in a sense, you could say all this is kind of tribulation. It's all very trying and troubling. But as God is pouring out, opening the seals, sounding the trumpets, pouring out the bowls of wrath, I want you to notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Very similar to what we were just reading about in Revelation. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why are they mourning? The wrath of God poured out on everyone who's not looking for Him. They're crying out. They're troubled. Again, think about those trumpets, just the trumpets. And how would you be shaken if all of a sudden light doesn't work the way it used to? The sun's not doing what it normally did. If all these sea creatures are dead, if all this vegetation is burned up, if the world doesn't look like what you think it should. You see, if you don't have God as the foundation in your life, all you have is this planet. This ball that we spin on in space. That's your stability. When you don't have God, all you have is the creation. The things that He made. See, the foundation in which the life of a Christian stands is Christ. It's God. We are not dependent on this earth being here in this place looking the way that it does. We're dependent on Almighty God who made the earth and the heavens. That has to be the foundation in which our lives are based. Because when all the things of the earth start to go awry, and you don't have that foundation, you're going to be shaken to the core of your being. Because everything you've counted on is now messed up. Great test of faith. Notice what it says in verse 31 then. It says, "And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other." Now what trumpet is it that's being blown? Notice with me in 1 Corinthians, or let's do 1 Thessalonians 4. Turn please to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just going to go through these very quickly, but I want you to see what it says. Again, celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, celebrating a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, knowing what it means for the world so that we're not shaken. God said, we quoted the verse last week, God said, "I do nothing unless I reveal it to my servants, the prophets." I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. These feasts, again, are a shadow of things to come, as it says in Colossians 2:17. The reality is Christ in the future, returning. And it's casting a shadow back on this Feast of Trumpets. We celebrate what Christ is going to be doing, what our Father is doing through Him. So notice here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just pick this up in verse 16 to 17. It says here, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." A time of gathering in the heavenly places. When does it happen? It says here that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So here's what we know. Matthew says that the timing of this gathering and the trumpet sounding to go gather the elect is after the signs that you see in the heavens. After the sun and moon is darkened. After this tribulation has taken place and the world is distraught. So it's after that time when the world is mourning. So it's not today. It's not today. This isn't happening today. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's after the tribulation, after the signs in the heavens, after the sun and moon have become darkened, after these things is the time of this gathering. Notice now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he defines it a little further for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 50, it says this, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And when he says that there, "we shall not all sleep," he's talking about when you're dead. Not all going to be sleeping, but you're all going to be changed. How? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now remember the seventh trumpet? That's the declaration that is made where Jesus returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the one where He is coming. It says, "at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality." A change is coming for those who look to God. So in the midst of trial, tribulation, as if the whole world is groaning in pains of birth, with all the trial and tribulation that you go to bring a child into the earth, out of it are going to come these children who are going to be raised up to meet Christ in the air. The dead shall rise first. Those who are alive and remain follow to meet Christ in the air, and thus they shall always be with the Lord. It's the timing of His events. But it happens through the tribulation, through the angst. When the world is mourning and travailing, like a woman in childbirth, He brings forth His own dear children. This is the time of redemption. When the world thinks all hope is lost, those who live with hope know it's just ready to come to fruition. Turn with me to a final verse here in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And notice what it says here in verse 25. Luke chapter 21 and in verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Friends, is the redemption before or after these things happen? After. It's after. You see, one of the brilliant things about God bringing these feasts to light, having us look, what does this thing mean about this memorial of trumpets? Searching the Scriptures to find what He says about blowing of trumpets. Very significant events. Would you agree? These are all big things, aren't they? These are all part of the next steps in the process and plan of Almighty God, what He is doing to bring salvation to this earth. We're celebrating if whatever happens. It's as good as done because it's in the Word of God. These things will happen and we celebrate what's going to happen. We know. But now listen, part of going through the process of celebrating these feasts is knowing what will happen so you're not deceived by messages that contradict. When will He gather? When will He redeem? Is it before or after the signs, the tribulation, and the things that happen that no man can deny? After. It's after. Beware lest you be taken in a spirit of prophecy that is not of Scripture. The Bible reveals. Don't lose hope when the world is falling apart. Don't lose hope when there's martyrdom and the saints are being martyred. Don't lose hope when the signs are in the heavens and things start to go apart. And don't lose hope when the world is in disarray and there's chaos. Realize when you see these things happening, Jesus says, don't get down, look up. Your time of redemption's here, it's near. But it doesn't happen before these things take place. It's not before the tribulation. It's not before, as Jesus says here, signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. It's not before the distress of nations with perplexity. It's not before men's hearts are failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Every bit of distress. It's just like when you go through again childbirth with your wife. She's paining. She's pushing. She's hurting. She's screaming. She's saying, David, don't you ever do this to me again. And she did say that. Just like that. But you know, because you know the process before you ever go into that delivery room, it's going to get bad. But there's hope. Because out of all this distress and trial and tribulation, a baby's going to come out. And it's going to be miserable, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to hurt. But don't you know there's hope? Don't you know what is being delivered out of it all is a child? And don't you know that God has designed all of that? We got to know. He's saying, it's coming on. For me to bring my children out, there's going to be all this distress of nations. It's going to be going on all around. But they're going to be thinking it's the end. They don't see the plan that through all of this, I'm bringing forth children. I'm looking for them to repent. I keep pouring on the trial, the tribulation, to call out to God, save me! A woman in childbirth, going through the pain, she cries out, save me, God! Help me, God! Deliver me, God! The husband with her, praying for her, interceding, help her, God! Strengthen her, God! Get her through! And this is what Jesus will do with each of us. It's what He's doing now in your life and in my life. Through every trial, through every stress, through every tribulation, there is Jesus. We sang about it as we worship today. You go through these hard things in life, but Jesus, your love never fails. All these things of the world, they promise you hope. They promise you relief. But Jesus, you are there. You're with me to the end. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you to the end. Jesus said, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. He is with us. We celebrate this feast, granting us knowledge to know God, to celebrate. Yes, Jesus, we're ready for your coming. Yes, Jesus, we're prepared for your coming. Yes, Jesus, we know it's going to get rough. Yes, Jesus, we know the pains of childbirth are on this earth. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse till the delivery comes. But we know that you're with us till we are born out of it. And everyone who turns to Jesus Christ, who calls upon His name, who gives their life to Him and cries out to Him, will not be ashamed. And what we are doing now is saying, friends, family, world, community, neighbors, Christ is coming again. Join us looking for His return. It's going to get bad. It's going to get a lot worse. If you feel uncertainty now, it's nothing compared to what's coming. The governments being shaken is nothing compared to the planet being shaken and the signs in the heavens. Are you ready? Do you know it's coming? Have you steeled your mind? Have you gone to God in faith and said, okay, I don't need this earth. I don't even need this body. I want the new one. I want the new body. I want the new heavens. I want the new earth. And whatever it takes to see me through to that moment, that's where I am. Friends, this is the higher faith. It's not based on this planet. It's not based on things seen. It's based on things unseen. The Feast of Trumpets is an awesome day of celebration that Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, that He is coming again to urge repentance on the world. But if they will not repent, they will face His wrath. Culminating with His coming again. But I want you to know that as He gathers the saints, it is His saints that will come with Him at that time. Glorified, beautified, following their Lord. Christ is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He has called you to be among those kings and among those lords, the priesthood that He is calling out of this world right now. And He's asking, will you rejoice with Him in the things He is doing? Do you see the truth in what He's doing? And through it all, will you be prepared to look up for the day of redemption as soon? I don't know if it's going to happen this year, next year, 10 years from now, in my lifetime. I don't know. What I do know is that until that day, I will keep celebrating this feast. I will keep rejoicing in having this fellowship with God to teach us about this memorial of the Feast of Trumpets. This is why we do it. This is what we celebrate, because we know what God is doing through Christ to bring about redemption and a huge change in the fabric of this earth. God willing, next week, if I'm alive and you are here, you will hear more on the Feast Day of Atonement. We'll talk about that and how it continues on, because this is just one aspect of these fall feasts. We still have some to go before we start celebrating them.